would like to speak to you on this title of this message, The God Who Relentlessly Pursues. The God Who Relentlessly Pursues. Think about that word, relentlessly. That means never give up, never give in. A tenacity. That was one of my dad's favorite words. Tenacity, Rob. You got to have tenacity. Never give up. And he would tell me a story all the time about how he would go into this one person he was trying to sell. He sold alloys to the metals industry. And the guy, he made a cold call, and the guy said, I will never buy from you. The company you work for denied me certain materials that I needed during the war, and it caused all this issue with the war, and it made him look bad. And so he said to my dad, you don't have a shot of selling me anything. Get out of my office. So what does my dad do? He calls him in 6 months and just says, hey, how you doing? And he just breaks the ice. Eventually, he got the account. So my dad loves the word tenacity. Tenacity. Well, God is tenacious, and he's relentless. And what is he relentless? He's relentless in his love and his pursuit and his passion for his creation. And so I have up there the God who relentlessly pursues, and I have a picture of a shepherd with his sheep, because we're going to look at a portion of scripture in Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus tells actually three stories. They're called parables. He tells three stories. And as today is Baptism Sunday, I just felt led to share on this portion of scripture, because here we're going to see humanity, part of humanity who has been captured, recognizes they've been captured by God's relentless love. And it is his love that leads us to what? Repentance. It is his love that leads us to repentance. And so in Luke 15, there are three stories that we hear about God's relentless pursuit. We're only going to look at two of them. So it says now, and I've highlighted certain words in the red there to draw our attention to them, just so that we can pause and see the context of the stories that Jesus is telling us. Okay, so now the tax collectors and the sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus. There's one group of people who are here at this specific part in time when Jesus starts to tell this story. Tax collectors and sinners, and they're all gathering around to hear Jesus. So if Jesus was like some of the religious folk that you hear today, do they attract sinners and tax collectors today? No, they're actually very repelling. But Jesus, in whatever way he spoke, in whatever tone, whatever body language he had, whatever the twinkle he had in his eyes, the way he spoke his message, it drew people who were not like this other group that we're about to read about. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, this is the other group. You have sinners and tax collectors, and you have Pharisees and teachers of the law. And what were they doing? They were muttering. What were they muttering? They're going, oh, this guy. Who does this guy think he is? Who does this guy think he is to teach people? We are the teachers of the law. We're the ones who are able to lead people in the ways of spirituality, in the ways of the God of our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who's this man from Nazareth think he is? Okay, so have you ever caught yourself judging other people? Have you ever caught yourself muttering? Oh man, if I was in charge, that was a bit too long. That was a bit too loud. If I would have done it, it would have been different. I think that's what these teachers of the law and the Pharisees were doing. They're muttering. They're talking about how they would do things and how they think this Jesus character is wrong. But where are the tax collectors and sinners? They apparently aren't smart enough to not know, not to listen to this guy. But they're drawn to him for some reason. All right, so we have two groups of people here. I had this actually up on our announcements. I thought it was so profound. Is what makes the gospel offensive is not who it keeps out, but who it lets in. Rachel Evans says that. The gospel is not offensive because who it keeps out. It is offensive because of who it lets in. Who are the two groups? Tax collectors and sinners. They were coming into the kingdom by droves. There was something about Jesus' message that drew them, and his message was one of love and acceptance for this group. But the Pharisees and the law, the religious people, the people who thought they had it all together, they were muttering. They were saying, no, this guy isn't good. So what does Jesus do? He tells them a story. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. So that's why I had this picture, right? We have a God who relentlessly pursues. So if one of you has 100 sheep and loses, the reason I have loses, we're going to look at that word briefly, but loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99? What does he do? He leaves. He relentlessly pursues. He's leaving all the 99 in the open country, and he goes after. He's pursuing. The shepherd, the good shepherd, is pursuing the lost sheep. Until when? He finds it. So a good shepherd, what makes him good is that he goes after his sheep and he doesn't ever give up. He goes after it until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home with it. And then he calls all his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." The God who relentlessly pursues. And he says, "I tell you this, that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents." See, who's he talking to? He's got different groups there. He's got sinners and tax collectors, and he's got Pharisees and teachers of the law. And he says, "I tell you, there's rejoicing in the kingdom of God when these sinners that you're muttering about, they repent, they change their mind about their situation, they change their mind about how God feels about them, and they flood into the kingdom than over the 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent, metanoia, who need to change their mind about their reality." In the first story, he tells a story about a shepherd. Who's the shepherd in the story? Jesus is the shepherd. God is the shepherd. Okay, who are the 100 sheep? Everyone, humanity. Humanity is 100 sheep. And the one sheep would be who? You might feel like it's you this morning. Right? There's some mornings I feel like, and there's some days I feel like I'm part of the 99. There's some days I feel like I'm part of the one. Either way, aren't you glad when you're the one, the good shepherd's coming after you? He's coming after you. And so now he tells a story about a woman who has 10 silver coins, and she loses. Remember the shepherd, the sheep was lost. That word lost, same word in this story, loses. And I'll tell you what that means shortly. And what does she do? Doesn't she light a lamp? In other words, she's tenacious. She's relentlessly looking. She sweeps the house. She searches carefully until when? She finds it. And when does she give up? She doesn't until she finds it. And then when she finds it, what does she do? She calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my coin, my precious treasure. My beautiful sheep, my preciously valuable sheep that I am tenaciously, relentlessly trying to find and to bring back. And so I have found my lost coin." In the same way, Jesus says, "I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents." Who are we? Who is the woman in the story? Who's the woman in the story? God or Jesus? A woman. Do you remember the book, The Shack? You remember the book, The Shack? I remember when The Shack first came out. It's probably been about 17, 19 years ago. And I thought that book was incredible. Not everybody thought that book was incredible. I think the groups that thought the book was incredible were the sinners and the tax collectors. I think the people that really didn't like the book so much were the people who were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Because there were things in that book that just drove them crazy. Like how could God be portrayed as a black woman? They just lost their minds. But wait again, let's go back. Suppose a woman, who told this story? Jesus. And he says a woman has 10 cents over coins and loses one. Okay? We're all right with Jesus talking about God as himself as a lamb. We're all right as talking about him as a lion. We're all right talking about him as various things. But we're not all right with him talking about him as a woman. Are you saying that God is a woman? No, I'm not saying that God's a woman. I'm saying these are allegorical. I'm saying these are symbolic. Is God a male? No, even though he reveals himself as Father. So we have Jesus talking about these two groups, this relentlessly pursuing, and then that book, The Shack, there was such fervor over so many things because of the way it was portrayed. These are allegories, okay? But anyway, the God who relentlessly pursues. I have two songs here that this made me think of when I think of relentlessly pursuing. I'm sure you know them both. The first one was sung by Marvin Gaye. Ain't No Mountain High. You remember that one? Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low. You remember that one? Okay, what is that song about? It's a song about a tenacious love, that there is nothing that is going to keep me from you, baby. Ain't no mountain high, ain't no river wide. If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far, don't worry, just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry, you don't have to worry. Cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. That is a relentless pursuit. It's about a love song. Okay, then there's one song that we sing in church. I actually saw it on the lineup for later today. And it's called Reckless Love by Corey Asbury. I always loved this picture. I saw it online or on social media a while back. You see that little lamb there? Stuck in the mud. How'd it get there? I have no idea. Do you know how it got there? Do you know how that one little baby sheep got lost? And then you see in the background there, there's the shepherd coming after that little lamb. Love that picture. Beautiful picture, the God who relentlessly pursues. Now as you look at that picture, and Jesus tells us that story, listen to these words of the song Reckless Love. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. We all were the enemies of God in our own minds. God didn't look at us as enemies. We were enemies of God. He said, when I was your foe, what? Your love fought for me. Scripture says when we were still his enemies, he commanded his love toward us. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so good to me. And I love this chorus. Similar to ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no river wide. There is no shadow you won't light up. See him coming after you? No mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. The God who relentlessly pursues. Let me try and put you into that scenario as the pursuer. So imagine you're at the park. Let's say you're at Washington Park. It's probably this time of year. It's about 8 o'clock, so nighttime is starting to fall. Dusk is starting to to set in. And then all of a sudden you notice you have one of your children still with you. And then all of a sudden you notice one of your children are missing. Hey, where's, we'll call him Reuben since I don't know any Reubens here. Hey, where's Reuben? I thought you had him. Wasn't he over there playing on the swing? I thought he was with you. Where is he? Is your next thought, you know, I'm a little hungry. Is your next thought, you know what? I have to get my car washed tomorrow. No, your next thought isn't that. What is your next thought? Your next thought is, boom, number one priority, where is Reuben? And let's find him, because it is now the number one priority in the world. I thought you were watching him. No, I thought you were watching. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to fight over whose turn it was to watch Reuben? No, because your treasure, your child is missing. There is nothing that is going to stop you from relentlessly pursuing this child in this park. Nothing. How intense, think about that, how intense and relentless would your pursuit of your child be? When you hear things like God is an all-consuming fire, that's what his all-consuming fire is. He is relentlessly pursuing his lost children. What would stop you from pursuing them? Nothing. Well, you know, it's getting a little late. We did our best. Let's give it another shot tomorrow. Right? Are you starting to get into the heart a little bit? Are we starting to scratch the surface a little bit of the pursuit of our Savior and our Shepherd after humanity, after you? What state of mind that your child is in would change your pursuit of them? Doesn't matter. What if they're upset with you? What if they walked away purposely? What lie they could be believing right now would change your pursuit? Nothing. What stubbornness, what pride of heart would have you relent from chasing after your child? There's nothing. That lets us in. I mean, can you imagine all the different emotions that you're going through? And I'm not trying to make God about emotion. I'm trying to just get us into the heart of a father who is after his humanity and his children. The stories that Jesus tells aren't about why the sheep was lost. The story about the woman was not about why the coin was lost. Jesus was simply telling a story about the relentless passion and pursuit of God after what is valuable and a treasure to him. And the answer is you. Could we just take a moment and close our eyes? Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would begin to bring to our remembrance, fill our mind and our heart with pictures and videos and voices of all the times, Lord, that you have shown us that you have relentlessly pursued us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us those few times that we can see, and I'm sure there's so many more. The Good Shepherd is never deterred. His resolve is never weakened by the circumstances surrounding the one that is lost. There ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough. One of the things, you can open your eyes, one of the things that, Daisha, you said last week when you were talking about rebirth and transformation that really drew my heart was the story of Les Mis. And the beautiful story of Jean Valjean and how he was thrown in jail because of he stole bread. Why was he stealing bread? He was stealing bread so that he could feed his family. What a horrible, horrible, thou shalt not steal, Jean Valjean. But anyway, he's in jail, and I'm not endorsing stealing. I'm just saying every circumstance is different. But after he's in jail for 19 years and he gets out and eventually finds himself in the presence of a pastor or a bishop, I believe his name was Muriel, and a picture of God's grace and a picture of God's love. And he invites him in. He starts to take care of him. And that night, Jean Valjean stole all the silver, and he got caught by the police. And when the police brought him to Muriel, he said, "Oh, he didn't steal those things. I gave them to him. You forgot the candlesticks." What a picture of the beauty of God's pursuit. To not look at the outward appearance of a man, to look at the heart. And then that act of love and that act of relentless, tenacious pursuit from a human being turned his heart. It is God's love that leads us to repentance. It is God's love that leads us to repentance. So the good shepherd comes and he rescues, and then he takes you up in his arms. I don't know, can you see that wolf in the background waiting? I don't have to be afraid of that wolf. I'm in good hands. I'm in good hands. The good, loving God who relentlessly pursues. So Jesus, at the end of his story, he's told this, and then we'll close after this, and our candidates will walk down together, and then the worship team will come up. Jesus said, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents." You see, it's one thing to be a little lamb. It's another thing to be an adult human. You see, because an adult human can make a free will choice, and they're responsible for their free will choice. You have the ability to make choices to your ability to consciously understand and have clarity of mind. Why would someone take fire to themselves to burn themselves? Are they in a right mind? Why would someone reject a shepherd who wants to give them life and life to its fullest? There's something wrong with their mind. And so Jesus uses this word repentance. And that word repentance is metanoia. It means to change your mind. You know, it actually doesn't mean to change your behavior like we make it out to be. Like the Western church has made it out to be, like American church has made. The word means to change your mind. It means, then what happens is when you change your mind, eventually, and you start to allow the God that you now think differently about, and the Holy Spirit now begins to give you the mind of Christ, you now begin to think like God thinks. And you no longer think psychotically. You no longer think like you want to hurt yourself. What man ever wants to hurt himself? Who would reject the God who wants to give you life and life more? By someone who's not thinking straight. And so the sheep isn't thinking straight because they're an adult, but yet they're out and about. And so repentance, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. It is a change of mind. It is actually our reciprocal response to God's love, and we give God back love through repentance. You see, as an adult, as someone who can reject the shepherd, and you can keep running and keep running and keep running and keep running, but he'll keep pursuing and he keeps pursuing and he keeps pursuing. The repentance is when you finally stop and you go, "My way is not the right way. My thoughts are not the right thoughts." And now you reciprocate. His love leads you to repentance, a change of mind. And now you are making a choice, because love without a choice is not love at all. It has to be reciprocated for it to be love. And God doesn't want robots. God doesn't want people who are loving him simply out of duress because they don't want to be punished. God doesn't want a love that is just forced upon you. So when we repent and we change and we say, "Yes, I want to love you. I love you for loving me." Herein is love, not that we loved him, but he loved us first. That the repentance is the reciprocity, the giving back of my love to him. And then in that dance of relationship, we walk together in love. two groups, tax collectors and sinners, Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law, Which group are you a part of? Jesus was asked, is it lawful to give taxes to Caesar? And Jesus said, well, do you have a coin? And they said, yeah. And they gave him a coin. He said, whose image and likeness is on it? And they said, Caesar. And he said, well, if his image and likeness is on it, must be his. Give it to him. And he says, but give to God. What is God? I wish you would have asked, somebody would have asked a follow-up question. Whose is God's? Who belongs to God? And Jesus would have said, well, whose image and likeness is on it? Whose image and likeness is on humanity? And then Jesus would have said, right, why don't you give him what's rightly his? Amen? Amen. Worship team, come on up. Candidates, let's head down. We'll get ready and we'll see you shortly at the baptismal tank. All right. We're going to invite you to come up so you can see. I want you to allow, you're welcome to come up on the stage too, but I want you to kind of be situationally aware of family members who want to take pictures so they can get a good shot closer to the middle. If you did not get a good shot during the actual baptism, tell me so that we can get you a good shot. All right, so the rest of you are staying back. Okay. So we're real excited today to have these baptismal candidates. And like the word that we heard today, these are image bearers, those made in the likeness of God who have said yes to Jesus. And so before you today, as their church family and as a community, they're making their confession of faith in God and His goodness and His love. And we're getting to participate together in some of Jesus' final words that we have recorded in the scripture, where He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. That's a good paradigm to live by too, by the way. Who has all authority and power in heaven and on earth and under the earth? Jesus. He says, since all authority in heaven and earth have been given unto me, therefore go into the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we get to participate in that this morning. And I want to invite you to come up closer if you can. So, who wants to go first? I said, who wants to go first? And Riley goes, Bentley. All right, so Bentley, come and tell us, why are you being baptized today?
I love Jesus and I want to follow him.
Amen. All right. Bentley, according to your confession of faith, we now baptize you, and then they move up a little bit. We now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that warm?
I love Jesus and I'm choosing to follow him.
Amen. Can everybody see her? All right, Riley, according to your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's warm.
What did you say?
That's warm.
She was actually one of the ones that initiated it. She's like, I want to get baptized. All right. putting them together. Okay.
You want to go first?
All right. All right, this is Nathan. Nathan Moore. Tell us, why are you getting baptized today?
My way of life hasn't worked, and I'm trying a different way now.
Amen. All right, move forward. You're a little bigger. All right. Nathan, according to your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can't come in, buddy.
He's taking off his clothes.
He's like, I want in that pool. All right, to Amber. This is Nate's wife, Amber Moore.
Hi.
Get close.
Okay. Hi. I actually had a friend who also got recently baptized at her church, and she said something that, like, punched me in the gut. She said she wants to publicly defeat Satan, and that really stuck with me. So I want to publicly defeat him as well.
Amen.
Want to get on this side of here?
Yeah. Move forward, baby. All right, Amber, according to your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, we just come before you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Your name is to be praised, for your good and your mercy endures forever. And now, Father, we just ask that as we go our way, we thank you that you are in us, and that, Father, we get to celebrate and live in that union and that reality with you wherever we go. And whatever our hand finds to do, we're going to do it with all our might. And we are going to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And what a privilege it is to express you in this world. Thank you. You've called us to be light in the darkness. You've called us to be lovers of our enemies. You've called us to go the second mile. You've called us to turn the other cheek. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so, Lord, we love you. We commend one another to your care in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.